news of Jesus comes to us in the Gospel according to Mark. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. O God, as always, we come here with much happening in our lives, much in our hearts and on our minds. We come here to bring all those things and to lay them at the feet of your Son, Jesus. We pray that just as your Spirit was shared with those in the wilderness so many generations ago, that too your Spirit would renew us and strength this day. And that by that Spirit we might hear your word. Know your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? With everything that goes on in the world and in our daily lives, with the stress of the workplace, the hectic pace of our schedules, all that happens at home with the kids and family members, bills that must get paid, physical ailments, the challenges of growing older, the pressure of school or homework or practices or trying to fit in with the rest of the crowd. What does it mean to be a disciple? Sometimes life gets so busy and complicated that we can lose sight of that fundamental question for our lives. As people who have been washed in the waters of God's grace and marked on the cross of Jesus. But just to help us refocus a little this morning, I want to invite you to take a moment and turn to someone seated around you. Now, they don't have to actually answer the question, so the pressure's off. But with a little bit of care in your voice, look them in the eyes and ask that question. What does it mean for you to be a disciple of Jesus? Find someone and ask. Now, hopefully, the answer will swirl around in your mind as the Spirit works the rest of the service. But occasionally, it's good just to actually hear the question. Because it's so easy to forget what we're truly trying to pursue in our lives. The single solitary goal of becoming more faithful disciples of our Master. In response to everything that God has done for us and everything God has blessed us with in Christ. We hear the call that we are seeking to live out that most holy path, to be a disciple of Jesus in this world. Today, the last Sunday in September, happens to be Luther Men's Sunday. There's so many aspects of Luther Men's ministry, many of which we've already talked about in various places. If it weren't Luther Men's Sunday, it may just as well be Luther Women's Sunday. And all those things that we talk about, all those things we plan and do and share, the point behind them all is this: that with everything that happens in our lives as Lutheran men or women of faith, or maybe some other adjective in front of that besides Lutheran, that's okay too. Behind it all, there remains one fundamental quest and purpose and drive. With everything we are and everything we have been given, to live out the answer to that fundamental question: what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? In our gospel lesson today, we see the original disciples of Jesus continuing to explore what that might look like for them. Now, just like us, those original disciples struggled with what it actually meant. The original disciples of Jesus didn't always quite get things right to begin with. Perhaps again, like us, or maybe just speaking for myself, like me. It's not always easy to know exactly what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus and to live that out in all the varied circumstances of life. And for the past few weeks, we have been overhearing some of the struggle that the original disciples had. Peter, the lead disciple, actually rebukes Jesus when Jesus tells the disciples that to be the Messiah means that he must suffer and be killed for the sake of others. James and John, two of the other lead disciples, get into an argument with the rest over who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be at Jesus' right hand or left in position of power. And in today's lesson, John gets all bent out of shape, just like Joshua did in the Old Testament lesson, because someone is not part of their little group. Someone who is also helping people and doing God's work in Jesus' name. Now, maybe like other men and women, the original disciples just had this streak of human competitiveness and jealousy within them that was hard to let go of. It's not so hard to imagine John's concern. While we hear the 12, the big 12, not the football conference, but the big 12 disciples, we are the inside group. We're the ones who've been handpicked by Jesus. We don't want a bunch of other people out there doing stuff in Jesus' name. They might not be doing it the right way. They may be taking away some of our reputation, some of our street cred. They may be detracting from our membership or getting people to go along with them instead of us. But Jesus has an amazing response to John in all such ways of thinking, doesn't he? Jesus says, "Don't stop them, for whoever is not against us is for us." This week I was around a group of people and one of them said something like this. They said, "You know, it's not good that the Pope is getting so popular and visiting America like this. It might put a stop to some people coming to our church." Sounded pretty much like John in today's gospel lesson. Whenever we as Christians get all worked up about the popularity of other Christian groups, whenever we get competitive with each other as denominations or congregations, whenever we start acting like John, we miss out on what we are all about: the fundamental, ultimate quest to live and work together as disciples of Jesus, to carry out the mission of God's kingdom in this hurting world. Jesus tells John and the original disciples, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, remember in the Gospels, little ones doesn't refer just to children, but anyone who is new in faith, who has come to believe in Jesus. If you put a stumbling block in front of any of those folks, it's better for you that a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast into the sea to drown. And he goes on to say that whatever it is that causes each of us to stumble in this journey of discipleship, well, we must cut it off. Just get rid of it. That's the utter urgency and sheer importance of this call to discipleship. Jesus' admonition for us to take whatever it is in our thinking or in our hearts that stands in our way of embracing the call to discipleship and simply get rid of it. Cut it off. Jesus is referring to that complete and total transformation of life as part of the call to discipleship. His urgency is uplifted by the phrase, being thrown into hell, that you heard in today's gospel lesson. Now, there are different words in the gospels that get translated into the word hell. The word Jesus actually uses in this context is the word Gehenna. You may remember that Gehenna is a ravine south of Jerusalem where once human sacrifices were held and which by Jesus' day served as kind of a perpetually burning garbage dump. And that image would have been very vivid in the minds of those disciples who heard Jesus use that word Gehenna. He's telling them that to hold on to our old human ways of thinking that are keeping us from seeing the new life of God's kingdom, to hold on to all that old stuff, why, it would be better for us than to just get dumped into that old ravine of burning garbage in that ravine outside Jerusalem. And none of the disciples would have wanted that. No, Jesus says, whatever it is from our old human, self-focusing, self-centered, self-serving ways of thinking, we're better off to get rid of it. Cut it off and be done. Jealousy over what others are doing in my name? Get rid of it. The desire to be on the inside and have others on the outside? Get rid of it. Competitiveness with others who do good works of hope in Jesus' name, get rid of it. The desire to be first, the desire to be greatest in the eyes of others, get rid of that too. The notion that sacrifice and suffering for the sake of others should be avoided, yeah, get rid of that. Any petty differences or grudges or resentments or jealousies or personal agendas or grievances, get rid of all that stuff too. Our mission, our lives are about something so much bigger than all our stuff. The stuff we carry up here. Our lives are about the inbreaking kingdom of God in this world. We have been honored to receive the call to be disciples who bring the ultimate message of hope, forgiveness, and compassion and grace to those in this world who hurt in so many ways. Be at peace with one another, Jesus says to John. Pray for one another. Confess your sins to one another, says James. Be honest with each other about what is holding us back, holding each of us back from a life completely reshaped by this call and invitation to be. disciple of Jesus. I remember this week when I was a little boy, over 40 years ago now, growing up in North Carolina, and there was a group of us that were part of the same baseball team from Pee Wee on. We kind of peaked the last year of Little League. We made it to the championship game and lost in the last inning. And then after that, as we moved on into Babe Ruth and Pony League, it seemed like everybody else got better, but we just sort of stayed the same. Never really accomplished much. So it came to our last year of the Pony League season. It was our last opportunity to do anything. And we knew we really didn't have much hope. But lo and behold, in our little town, there moved in a family, and they had a son named Ramon. And by the way things were assigned in the league, it just so happened that Ramon got assigned to our team. And Ramon could throw a baseball like no one we had ever seen. And with Ramon pitching for us that season, we never lost a game. Here's the thing. Ramon was different from all of us. He looked different. He wore different clothes. He spoke a different language. He ate different food. He didn't grow up with all of us and knew all of us together. And so we just didn't like Ramon. We would sit all together on one end of the bench, and Ramon would be at the end by himself. And we would look up in the stands, and all of our parents would be together in the bleachers, and Ramon's family would be up in a corner by himself. And we would call Ramon names, and when the games were over with, and we were celebrating, mostly because of Ramon, we would invite him to come celebrate with us. And we would hear our parents in the stands use words about Ramon and his family that weren't very good at all, and certainly not Christian. So after the last game, Ramon walked off in tears, and he didn't come back. Who could blame? We didn't even make it out of the first round of the playoffs. You see, sometimes we can get so caught up in our stuff, in our own baggage, that it deprives us of the joy we might experience in fulfilling our dream. Our dream of working together as disciples of all sorts, of all places, to bring hope and meaning and forgiveness and compassion into this world. Breaking kingdom of God. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? It means everything. Absolutely everything. So much so that we can cut off all that stuff that keeps us from being God's people and chuck it in the box. Be rid of it, so that as men of faith, as women of faith, as young people of faith, we might live each and every week as who we are called to be. Nothing less than disciples.